This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:36 a.m. It is me, Koo Soo Chuang, joined by Joyce Goh. We've got Kingsley Jones, the founder and chief investment officer of the Sydney-based Jevons Global firm, with us on the line. Kingsley, welcome to the show. Now, can you explain and shed some light on this issue? The fact that the ECB is divergence with the Fed in terms of pushing back rate hike expectations well into next year, as well as revising their growth outlooks lower?
Well, Europe is really some years behind the USA in this cycle. And Euro area growth looked good last year, but of course then the US started raising rates, and that has caused the Euro area to soften a little bit. We think it's probably a hiccup due to that timing. You know, the U.S. tightening cycle is well underway now, and that's been reducing dollar liquidity in emerging markets. So I think it's important to understand that, you know, the real competitive part of the European economy globally is the export sector, particularly in countries like Germany, France, the Netherlands, and the Scandinavian countries. So if you have a little bit of softness in emerging markets, that obviously hits Europe. The other factors, of course, is, you know, the ongoing Brexit negotiations and the political situation in Italy and formerly France last year. So, look, this might be the pause that refreshes. We just have to wait and see on the U.S. Trade war talk.
Well, Kingsley, the Fed is expected to continue raising rates each and every quarter. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, U.S. Fed under Powell will keep raising, and that does provide support to the U.S. dollar. In some ways, it's a mixed bag. I mean, we have a lot of U.S. Treasury bonds need to be sold to fund the Trump budget deficit. And, of course, this is going to be done at higher rates. So there's a potential for a bit of a standoff there between the bond market and that need to finance. However, we think that for U.S. 10 years, when the yield is much over 3.5%, then there's a pretty compelling yield pickup over euro area debt and, indeed, a lot of global debt. The big risk, of course, to global financial conditions would be with this tighter dollar liquidity, if bond investors just, you know, refuse to fully fund these auctions, then, you know, you might see the yield spike up a little bit. And that, of course, is the risk that most fear. We don't think it's going to happen as long as there's enough, meat in the offers for the treasuries, high enough yields at the appropriate time in the schedule to get global investors buying.
Yeah, Kingsley, I've just got the dollar index open in front of me on my Bloomberg screen. At about 94.5, 95, the dollar index is around about the highest point since November last year. What does all this mean for the dollar going forward, at least into the end of this year?
Well, look, a stronger U.S. dollar is now looking more likely. We've been in the camp of recognizing that it is likely to strengthen on rising rate expectations, but there's also a little bit of a dampener to that with Trump's large stimulus program requiring a lot of treasury issuance. Now, at the margin, of course, remember, China historically is a big buyer through their central bank of U.S. bond issues. That is to say, the new issues when the treasury comes to market and tries to sell bonds, China's in the market buying. Now, there may be, as a result of this trade war, less enthusiasm on the part of the Chinese at some point to be buying those treasuries unless the yield is high enough. So that does provide a little bit of a stabilizer to the other side of a weaker dollar, but we need to recognize that, in this economy we have now, America first from the U.S. does tend to encourage a set of behaviors we're very accustomed to in the past, where when U.S. dollar liquidity tightens, the U.S. dollar strengthens and it becomes a self-reinforcing phenomenon, and you get some drying up of liquidity around the world that dampens global growth. So we just need to watch out for that.
Well, speaking about the trade war, do you think the market is at all fazed by the latest, U.S.-China trade rant? I mean, on one side, you have big China industry, and the other, you have American commodity heartland.
Well, it does worry us some. I mean, there's an old saying, when the elephants start dancing, the mice should worry. And, for Australia at least, it might be a big country, but we're a comparatively small economy in the global context. And in particular, Australia is highly dependent on demand from China for energy, metals and agricultural products. Now, that aspect of the Australian situation mirrors actually a lot of emerging market nations that You know, if you think of Brazil, for example, it's a big exporter of both agricultural products and also metals. So in this situation with China and the United States, the war of words regarding trade, you know, for a lot of these other nations, like Australia, we now have to keep two parties happy in this trade war, and that's going to be a little bit tricky. There's a trade-off here. In our view, China's more likely to play the long game with what they do in response to what appears to be a US-initiated trade war, although some would say, of course, the reason for it is just because China was maybe not playing fair with their own aspects of trade. If China played a long game, then that probably does suit Australia from an economic perspective, but we'll need to give something up because the geopolitical environment's getting much trickier. I think that the big stabilizer here is the natural reason for the US and China to do more trade together is through energy exports, now that the US has a very competitive global energy production sector through unconventional oil. That's, of course, not great for Australia because we have a lot of energy potential, but ultimately it might be better for stability if we do see increased bilateral trade between the USA and China around, you know, energy products going to China and manufactured goods coming back to the US.
Well, talk about the energy complex, Kingsley. I think the Saudis tackle a tricky OPEC meeting this week. They've got to negotiate this. This is their exit from production cuts. Now, of course, all this is happening in the face of renewed Iranian sanctions and a collapsed Venezuelan economy. Now, you know, they've obviously got to keep the oil prices at least where they are or not trigger a collapse. How are they going to negotiate that?
Well, look, negotiate's key word there. You know, oil is volatile, but it still powers the global economy. So it's not like, if you think of the geopolitics, it's not like people can say to the major oil exporting countries of OPEC that they just don't matter anymore. Of course they do. There's always this tension in the commodities markets internationally between those who need to produce commodities in order to pay the bills and those who need to buy the commodities in order to do what they need to do to build their economy. And look, that's always been the case. What, of course, is happening now is that the traditional role of OPEC in being, so we say, the controlling producer cartel is fading. And that's largely because of the resurgence of U.S. oil production through unconventional oil. So, look, I think what it means is that if we see OPEC accepting prices in the $60 to $70 range but defending them below that, then that's probably good for the oil market overall, because the reason why we do need prices somewhat in this range is to fund the capital expenditure to rebuild the oil complex, because all oil wells run out eventually. And that's particularly true of the short-life wells in unconventional oil, but we shouldn't forget the long-life deep-water assets that are extremely expensive to build and maintain. And if we don't rebuild that capacity, then we may see much higher oil prices down the track. So it's all a bit of a balance, and clearly we need to watch this OPEC announcements closely, but we also need to look very carefully, I think, at what Donald Trump's ultimate role might be in forging a role for the US as a new energy exporter or swing exporter to Asia. And that's particularly important in the long run, I think. And if it does happen, it may be a good thing in terms of stabilizing the market at new levels and removing the sense that it's just OPEC driving the show.
Well, I mean, lest we forget, though, Trump was also instrumental in dictating where share market or equity market prices were a couple of years ago, or at least when he was elected. Now, of course, we've got the rest of 2018 to go and look forward to, Kingsley. The S&P is doing really well, up 4% year-to-date. NASDAQ up 12% year-to-date, and the Dow Jones up 1.5% year-to-date. How do these three major exchanges set up for the rest of the year, given what you just said in terms of the trade talks? And how are you advising your clients at Jevons Global?
Yeah, so as I might have said on previous calls, we have been lightening our exposure to the U.S. because we've been predominantly positioned in the U.S. for many years, off the back of this improving condition in emerging markets and also Europe. Now, at the margin, what we're doing is standing back a little bit from the emerging markets in Europe, just because we think this is a cyclical period of weakness. Whilst we position to capture some of the new opportunities in the United States economy that have to do with the broadening recovery. specifically, we're seeing firms like really high-quality companies, but they're capital spending sensitive, like Caterpillar and Boeing and so on, start to do really well. So we still own a lot of technology names, but we're starting to position more of our clients' capital in those areas which we think will benefit from, shall we say, this second wind of the recovery off of still low interest rates and a lot of stimulus expenditure to come in the US economy.
Kingsley, thanks so much for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, the founder and CIO of the Sydney-based Jevons Global on the Market Watch. We're going to be coming back, Joyce Goh and myself, with the business news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.